Now, Evangelist Winston Tye.
Thank you. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," Matthew 16:18. There are many who have reached the conclusion that the church Jesus established meets no real want and has no purpose. Therefore, our theme for study is entitled, "The Purpose of the Church." A definition of terms is in order. What do we mean when we use the word purpose in relation to the church? To whom do we refer when we speak of the church? The purpose of the church has reference to the object or end to be attained. It is that which God proposes to accomplish through the church. This is the meaning of the word purpose when we speak of the purpose of the church. The word church is translated from a Greek word which means the called out. In the New Testament, the word church is a reference to God's people who have been called out of darkness into marvelous light. The church includes all the people who have answered the call of the gospel. We are called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," Matthew 15:18. The very fact that he authorized its existence is the fact that it was founded in wisdom. It is evidence that he has a work for it, a work which cannot be done without it. The apostles went everywhere establishing churches and setting them in order for that work to which they were called with a holy calling. The teaching of the Lord and that of the apostles on the subject of the use and need of the church should end all controversy. We are not wiser than the Lord. The purpose of the church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. This manifestation of God's wisdom is according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 3:10-11. It is then the purpose of the church to make known the manifold wisdom of God. The glorious angels of heaven, after God had declared his purpose to so bless mankind, desired to look into the things that pertain to the manifold and infinite wisdom of God, 1 Peter 1:12. It was through the establishment of the church that God provided the angels with more light and knowledge. The word manifold carries the thought that the wisdom of God is greatly diversified. It is conspicuously excellent. It is a fact that the Church of the New Testament is conspicuous by reason of her excellence. Who am I to question the importance of the Church in the salvation of man? The Apostle Paul said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:25-27. According to these words, the church is a glorious church. Christ gave himself for the church. Christ loved the church. Christ will sanctify the church, and he will present it to himself. These are thoughts that fill the minds of our people with a sense of the church's glory. It is the purpose of the church to worship the true God. Inspiration reveals that it was the intention of God's people to assemble for public worship. They were not to forsake the assembly, Hebrews 10:25. It was upon the first day of the week that the disciples were gathered together to break bread, Acts 20:7. This was an established custom in the church. It is the testimony of antiquity that the Christians of the second century came together to eat the Lord's Supper. They considered the custom to be of apostolic authority. The purpose of the church is to worship the true God in spirit and truth. Jesus said, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such doth the Father seek to be his worshippers." God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John 4:23-24. Jesus declared, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." But it was Pilate that saith unto him, "What is truth?" The answer to this question is recorded at John 17:17. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." It follows then that all acceptable worship is in compliance with the Word of God. The church in Jerusalem is an example to follow. This church continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. Acts 2:42. The apostle Paul stood among the men of Athens and perceived that they were very religious. Acts 17:23. His spirit was provoked within him as he beheld the city full of idols. He observed these objects of worship and found an altar with this inscription, "To an unknown God." Then he declared, "What therefore ye worship in ignorance, this I set forth unto you." The Athenians had erected altars to all known gods, but they had erected an altar to a God that might be in existence without their knowledge. So we see from this example that in the absence of knowledge, it is impossible to worship God in spirit and in truth. Paul preached the gospel to the Athenians, Acts 17:22-31. In this sermon, Paul gave vivid descriptions of God. The Pharisees and scribes honored the Lord with their lips, but Jesus said, "Their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." Matthew 15:8-9. Precepts of men stand in opposition to the Word of God. worship is in vain when we teach for our doctrines the precepts of men. This means that our worship is useless, empty, and void. We have discussed briefly, but candidly, some ways in which we may worship God. However, in our effort to show the purpose of the church, we have made an effort to establish the fact that the church must worship God in spirit and in truth. It is the purpose of the church to preach the gospel. We must go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. The statement, "Preach the gospel," at Mark 16:15, has the same meaning as "preach the word" at 2 Timothy 4:2. These statements from the Word of God have moved us and motivated us to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Apostle Peter spoke imperatively when he said, "Speak as the oracles of God," 1 Peter 4:8. The New Testament preachers had a sense of mission. Silence was an impossible alternative. Preaching the gospel was and is fundamental, not incidental. Jesus, Paul, and Peter have spoken on the subject of preaching. What they say is of great consequence. It determines the success or failure of one professing to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel effectively and extensively is the aim of all gospel preachers. This conviction is inherent in the history of the church recorded in the book of Acts. It is the purpose of the church to preach the gospel. It must be a soul-saving church. The members of the Jerusalem church went about preaching the word, Acts 8:4. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. The way of salvation, faith in Him, repentance toward God, confession of Christ, baptism by His authority, are stipulated conditions of pardon. Let us so love Christ that we cannot choose otherwise than to keep His commandments. Now is the acceptable time. Now or never. If not now, it may be never. God bless you, my friend.